Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Halfhager.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you are having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah, hump day.
We are going to get into some fun in a little bit. We got the 2024's best cities for Christmas.
Okay.
The best.
We'll see how wrong they are.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We also have the perfect gift for a surprise me family member as we continue to help you
more
with gift
stuff. You know, that's what we're here for, man. Just to help. We're here to help.
We kick off the hour with entertainment news, and the National Film Registry has entered 25 new movies.
Awesomeness.
So this is one of the things that they do every year.
Yep.
25 films are being inducted for preservation. Mm-hmm. To make a registry, a movie must be at least 10 years old and have some sort of cultural, historical, or significance in its filmmaking.
Something that people need to consider. Film is ephemeral. It is easily destroyed. This has happened many times over the years where film stock, you know, from like a whole bunch of the old silent films, well, they were either reused, you know, because they were considered, you know, throwaway, basically. They were like, no one's going to care about these, you know, 20-minute short films that we made silent. And like now, today, people are like, why didn't you save that? You know, because people are dying to see these things these days. This is such an important thing because there's so much that can happen that we would lose these films and that would be horrible. This is not, we've lost enough. We need to make sure we keep these things.
Imagine if we did not have Moonlight Sonata.
The sheet music gets destroyed and we the only copy, and then we don't have that music anymore. It's gone.
Imagine if you had never seen even a picture on your computer or on your phone or in a book of the Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We don't treat the disrespect that we do with film.
Yes.
And it's something that I've never quite been able to wrap my brain around, other than it just is something that people put on these ideas, or they think they have this idea of what art is or what this is, you know, and then, well, this isn't art. A monkey can do it or whatever and everything.
Right.
A monkey can also paint. A monkey could also play music on a keyboard and everything. Not everybody can do certain things, and I do think that there's something to be said for certain cultural films.
Yep.
Like Cheech and Chong. I've heard some people already making fun of this and everything, because there are a handful of movies that were brought in. Pride of the Yankees from 1942. Nobody's going to argue that one.
Nope.
Miracle Worker from 1962.
Gary Cooper could play baseball to save his soul, but anyway.
Right. Those go in. And then there's Invaders from Mars from 1953 that has a sci-fi cultural impact.
That's a good, cool movie.
Speaking of, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan from 1982. One of the more quoted sci-fi movies.
That makes me really happy, because it's I mean, you're talking about film in general being kind of degraded as an art form. How about genre films?
Yeah.
Totally. Even worse than normal films, man.
Well,
something like this, that's big news, if you ask me.
And to that point, two very different genres, but the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974 was a game changer in the horror films.
Game changer.
To the point where they're still making those kind of movies
exactly.
And everything.
The
narrator,
that's how important they were.
The storytelling of it, too, was very different. I'm not a horror guy. I'm not into all that and everything. But I'll say that when I'm first watching it, I'm like, they're doing this a little differently. They're doing it like a doc thing and stuff, which everybody does now. So
it's become so ubiquitous that we don't even think about it. But this was the first one. This is the one that started that.
And as far as Cheech and Chong and Up in Smoke, I'll admit, he should not have been doing this. But I'm 9, 10 years old, and my dad's got his tape player out and having me learn Cheech's parts so that I could do Cheech and Chong bits with him on this little tape player we're doing and everything. My dad was a big fan of it and everything. But in part because of that, I found out these guys barely smoked.
Yeah.
Like, they barely smoked.
You couldn't do the work they did.
Cheech and Chong wrote and directed, like, all their bits.
Yeah.
So as they're touring the country doing all these things, and they're doing movies and everything, do you think they could have done that on as much as they were joking they were doing?
No. No way. There's no way.
They saw a niche, and they hit on it no differently than Gallagher or half of your other comedians right. of the time.
Well, everything. Except for the fact that, unlike Gallagher, they had talent. But other...
Yeah, right, right. But they... To that point,
yes.
People quote their bits.
Still.
Dave, open the door. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door, Dave. Open the door.
Dave's not here, man.
No, I am, Dave. As far as like, oh, should they be in there with Pride of the Yankees and all these? Get out. Who are you, and or any of us for that matter, to say what should or shouldn't, or what is art and what isn't? Now, you can tell me you do or don't like something. That's completely different.
That's because it's subjective, right?
That's,
yeah.
That's all yours. If you don't like it, that's cool.
That's fine.
You know, teach their own and everything. But the idea of saying, this doesn't belong in here, or that doesn't out of here with that, man.
Yeah,
like,
no.
who I don't get out. Tell me, oh, I went to film school for 20. Yeah, great. All right, now what are you doing with that degree, first of all? And second of all, like, you don't know any more than I do or anybody else does about this stuff, because it's about what you like.
Yes, it is.
And you want to talk about some of the things I was touching on there with genre changing, or you know, a choice with editing or sound design or something. Yes, mm-hmm. That's all different. But as far as opinions and everything, your opinion is no better than anybody else's just because you know this or you know right. that or anything.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to your first point, it's because it's popular entertainment. That's what a lot of art people turn their noses up at, because people like it. People enjoy film. It's a commercial thing. But that does, just because it has, I mean, but so is everything else in the art world. Yeah. It does. All money is involved with everything. Come on. Get out of here with that, you know?
I get so tired of these supposed gatekeepers. This is not country, or this is not a true
It's not real painting or whatever. Right, or anything.
Like, again, if it's your thoughts on it, sure. But the idea of trying to speak for everybody, miss me with that.
No. Not happening.
Beverly Hills Cop, 1984. that made it in. I love that that's in there.
Awesome. Yep.
Dirty Dancing from 1987. That's certainly a cultural big one.
I'm telling you, man.
My Own Private Idaho from 1991.
Ooh.
A sneaky good movie. And Keanu Reeves and River Phoenix, incredible performances in that one. Spy Kids from 2001.
Okay. Oh, right. That's cool. Yeah.
And The Social Network from 2010.
Okay.
One of David Fincher's better movies. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something.
You know, that's a really diverse group of films that they put in there. And that's good. This is all good things. I mean, I love the idea that they don't really, you know, they're not saying that, you know, like you said, they're not being gatekeepers and saying, oh, well, we can't do this drug film. You know, that's, we do that. Because they all had cultural significance. You know, people who have not seen Up in Smoke, talk about, they will, you know, they know the memes, they know the phrase, the stuff that has reached the culture. So many of these movies have done that, you know, Beverly Hills Cop and all these things, right?
Banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Wanted to touch on this one right here. Tom Cruise, I was going to just say the joke that Tom Cruise is you know, short or whatever and everything, but I wanted to get his actual height in. So I started to type in Tom Cruise, and on the search bar, the first thing that pops up before you can even finish it is Tom Cruise's height. It's so rough.
He's the one that made a big deal out of it.
Yes, yeah.
So come on.
Tom Cruise is 5'7", but he is feeling a lot taller right now, I would imagine, because this is... There's a lot of like silly things that happen for actors and you know, things that, oh, we're honoring you mm-hmm. this or whatever. This has got to be pretty cool if you're him. Tom Cruise received the U.S. Navy's highest honor yesterday. The U.S. Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro, gave him the Distinguished Public Service Award for, quote, outstanding contributions to the Navy and the Marine Corps through movies like Top Gun and A Few Good Men and others. Tom said, quote, I admire all the servicemen and women I know in life. Something that is very true to me is that to lead is to serve, and I know that is that to my core, and I see that in the servicemen and women of today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much Scientology, you know, really messes with that or not, as far as serving and
that's a good question, but yeah.
Scientology likes to play Navy. They like to play a lot of that stuff and everything.
They like to play CIA, too.
James.Maliff@civicmedia.us if they need to reach out to me. I have a great legal team. I got a family of attorneys. I'm not afraid of them.
You're not afraid of Scientology.
I am not afraid of Scientology.
But some people might should be, but James is not one of them.
Nope. There's a handful of things that come in handy when you got a bunch of attorneys in your family. I know what I can get away with and what I can't.
All right, there you go.
Let's take a phone call.
Whatever. Your records are wrong.
Records
lady.
Are very
yeah.
wrong. Congratulations to him on this. I will say this. He does go out of his way in movies to promote our military and our branches of our military. Mm-hmm. And that's never a bad thing. There's no downside to that.
Especially the common soldiers, sailors, mm-hmm. all them. Yeah.
Beyonce holds a new record with the Recording Industry Association, the RAA.
Mm-hmm.
She now has the most certified titles by a female artist of all time with a total of 103.
Really?
Man, is that some.
That's a lot. Wow.
It includes the list. Cowboy Carter went platinum. Her single Texas Hold'em went double platinum. 16 Carriages went gold. It's a long list. The RIAA's year-end chart, Taylor Swift had the highest certification level on the top album of the Tortured Poets Department. Mm-hmm. That hit platinum 6 times. And Birthday Girl Billie Eilish has the most certified titles with 10.
Wow. So, how about that?
A lot of those.
The ladies taking over. My goodness.
It's been a run of that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a bit of a
real
run of
talent,
this. There's not a lot of artists that are repeating. Like, mm-hmm. you got an artist that has 1-2 good albums, maybe, and then they fade away.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, long, you know, sticking around and lasting, it seems to be all
especially in a certain
artists.
Kind of popularity. Yeah. I mean, Beyonce is Beyonce. And Taylor Swift has done amazing things. Mm-hmm. But seeing people like Billie Eilish, which is not something.
Yeah.
Her kind of music isn't like their music.
No.
It's different, but it's really cool to see so many people responding to it this way. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool to see where the genre has mm-hmm. gone, and honestly, just keeping music alive.
Yeah,
in many ways, like
exactly.
The industry itself.
Yes.
There are like 3 record companies now.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
That own everything.
Everything.
Yeah,
like,
which is
and nobody talks about that.
I know.
Like people, they put so much focus on other industries and the monopolization of certain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why nobody. We all listen to music.
Yeah.
Please call in 715-424-2600 if you don't listen to music, period.
What, wow.
Otherwise, we all like think about like maybe not everybody goes and watches movies. Maybe not everybody's into TV or into streaming or anything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my God, everybody listens to music.
Okay.
And yet none of us seem to and nobody seems to care about that.
I'm telling you, if you don't listen to music, we have the show for you. It's called the Sunshine Polka Show because you obviously haven't heard polka yet.
Yeah. You got to
you just got to listen to that and then Tim will have you hooked.
Yep. He'll get you. He got me. I tell them all the time. Like, I never listened to a note of polka in my life until I started listening to that show. I got it in my playlist now. I love it. Good stuff. We are going to be having some fun tonight here at the station because we got a couple of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the radio right here on WFHR, you can hear the Greg Gard show at 6:05. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Badgers head coach mm-hmm. got a lot to say and going to be giving, especially coming out of the other game and finally getting in W column again and everything. Yeah. Been a little bit up and down mm-hmm. for them lately. Going to be good to hear from Coach. If you'd like to, though, I encourage you to pull up the Civic Media app and join us for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe tonight. I will be co-host or a guest on that show
with
him.
Yeah, that's right.
Pete's going to have me on around 6:30 tonight, somewhere around there.
Very
I'll
good.
Be joining him.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Conrad and Pete for inviting me on. I really appreciate that. That is very cool. And I didn't say no, but the scheduling thing wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete just kept hitting me up.
Yeah,
and so I really appreciate him doing that.
He was
that.
Persistent, that one.
That was nice of him. So we're going to have some fun on the show tonight. Looking forward to talking some entertainment with Pete during Nightlight. Be sure to join Pete Schwabe for Nightlight. Anytime we don't have sports or local high school coverage or anything.
6 to 8 every night. Yep.
Yeah, we've got that one for you lined up. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And I do want to send a shout out to everybody that auditioned the last couple of nights for Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah, it's great to see the turnout. It was very cool.
It's such a... not everybody can do that.
That's true.
I think especially for people like us, where mm-hmm. we spend a lot of time with actors and creatives, mm-hmm. and well, this is just what we do. Mm-hmm. But like I went from yesterday producing or running the board,
the Elf Call Center,
the Elf Call Center, and I sit back and I watch Melissa and our Elf, and we had some help with Laura during that show. Mm-hmm. They did some great work on that show, mm-hmm. Behind the scenes and everything. So we've got these creatives in the room, and for everything scripted, there is so much improv.
Yep.
And there is nothing like doing live radio until you've done it.
Nothing like it.
I can teach you it. I can talk you through the board. I can give you everything you need to do this. But until the mic actually goes on, you just don't understand what this job is like to do live. Mm-hmm. No different than doing live TV or anything else.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sitting back, man, and I've got a lot of plates I'm trying to spin to make sure this goes smoothly and everything. Mm-hmm. And Melissa's got all she needs.
Getting the phones ready, getting all this stuff queued up. Yep.
And I'm distracted because I can't help but be just blown away by the work that these creatives are doing in the mm-hmm. room here and everything with our Elf and Laura and mm-hmm. Mel and all that. Yep. It was awesome. And then I go right over to auditions for Arsenic and Old Lace. And between you and I, Seth, I don't think I did a very good job. I don't think I really had it. My voice was gone.
Oh, no.
But it didn't matter because I was entertained. I saw so many great people up mm-hmm. there being brave and going up on that stage and delivering lines. And they're stuttering over words because they haven't read these scripts before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very vulnerable. You're very vulnerable on that
you
stage.
Are.
And one of the stronger, braver things I see a human being do is get on that stage. Mm-hmm. Saw a lot of our locals, a lot of our neighbors doing that. Shout out to everybody. Mm-hmm. Getting casted or not is here or there.
Yep.
These things go in stages, the way I look at it. As somebody who routinely gets turned down for paid gigs, I will tell you, you have to build up a thick shell for this stuff. Mm-hmm. For me, I wrap my heart in chain mail, mm-hmm. and I go into battle, and I mm-hmm. go into these things, and it hits you sometimes.
Yep.
I admire people that are doing this because they want to, because they have a passion for it, or they just want to try something new, whatever it is.
Which is great, yeah.
Well done, everybody. Congratulations to everybody out there.
Yes.
Take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're talking best cities for Christmas.
All right.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Softly they fall, where do they go?
Purple snowflakes
cover the ground without a sound.
Gentle snowflakes
fall from the sky before your eyes.
It's so thrilling.
Blankets of white brighten the night.
Gregory Porter.
He is one of the great jazz voices right now. And he's an amazing singer. Oh my gosh.
Purple Snowflakes is that one, if you want to check it out, everybody.
By the way, I found out that was originally performed by one Marvin Gaye. I did not know that until after I did this. So I was like, wow, cool.
Marvin's got some stuff out there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very popular, that is definitely worth the listen.
Yes.
If you want to make sure to have a Merry Christmas, blow your budget and head on down south. Because the site Wallet Hub ranked the best cities to spend Christmas in, and Atlanta took the top spot.
Atlanta?
Yeah, didn't see that one coming.
That's a surprise.
They based it on things like many holiday-themed events there are, how many of them there are, how easy it is to shop, and how much people love the holidays based on Google searches.
Okay.
So a couple of key factors there that kind of play into it. Certainly a larger population helps some of that.
Yep.
The 10 best cities for Christmas in 2024 are Atlanta, Pittsburgh. Whoa.
Pittsburgh.
Didn't see that coming.
Oh, wow.
Seattle, Las Vegas, Orlando, San Fran, St. Louis, Miami, Chicago, and New York.
Wow, Chicago was ahead of New York.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised. That is interesting. Oh, you second city guys. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Anytime I can beat New York, I'm going to take it. I don't care. I don't care what it is. That's a good one. Interesting to see some of these cities like Las Vegas or Miami in there. I think they get looked at as like party cities mm-hmm. or entertainment cities and everything, but they do these holidays pretty darn well too.
I get Miami more than Las Vegas. I mean, you could basically, I guess, pick Las Vegas for any holiday, really, because they do the thing, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, really, it seems... Las Vegas seems so fake to me. I don't know. That's just my own personal opinion, but,
Vegas made the top five, but of the 100 cities they looked at, North Las Vegas ranked last. So... I didn't even know there was a North Las Vegas. North Las Vegas. I'm going to be completely honest with everybody. So, I was 47.
Is that a different city? So it's not like the north part of Las Vegas. It's like an actual city called North Las Vegas. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know about that one. but what about local? Well, yep. We mentioned Chicago is at number 9.
Yep, just not bad. Not bad.
Top 10. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee is at 66.
Whoa, that's way down there.
Madison at 59.
Okay.
Now, these are more spread out
than they are.
Some, mm-hmm. And not as congested, so I think that's part of it. But I didn't really see Minneapolis ranked 20th.
Okay, so it's a little higher, but yeah, wow.
But I you've got Honolulu at 15. And nothing against Honolulu,
Hawaii, not at all.
Or anything like that. But I feel like I don't know that I agree with the list.
Okay,
like, Wallet Hub does a great job with these things, and we use their surveys a lot.
We do,
have a lot
yeah.
of fun with them. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to them, and you can go to wallethub.com to find the complete mm-hmm. list and how they did this. I disagree.
I wonder if this is a Midwest bias thing because
absolutely,
it's because most of those cities don't have snow. And maybe we are so, we are so connected to the idea of winter, Christmas, snow kind of thing that thinking about Miami or Honolulu is just so weird and foreign to us. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
And this is the wrong way to do this. Like major cities, what about rural cities? Ooh. What about, medium markets and everything?
What about that city they use in every single Hallmark movie?
Yes.
Whatever
that
city.
Whatever that city is.
That's great.
One on the list. Yeah.
It's probably in Canada.
It's got to be. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
I disagree with that list completely.
Mm-hmm. That's two of us. That's two of us.
Well, small town USA, that is the best place to go for Christmas
100%.
And all that. I mean, it just, these big cities, they can afford to put on all this stuff, but to get the true meaning sometimes of Christmas, it's small town USA. I mean, that's just.
Yeah, and Kev, I think you worded it perfectly right there, the true meaning. Now, that's different for everybody, mm-hmm. but I think if you're looking at the overall meaning of the season, the mm-hmm. holidays and everything, I'm a city kid, and I love cities, and I like many things about them and everything. Mm-hmm. But if I'm looking for that true element, even people in the city, what do? Well, if we're going to go look at Christmas lights, we're going to the suburbs. Mm-hmm. We're going outside. We're going out of town. We're going out of those things. Even in the city, you get, I'm going to go to grandma's house and mm-hmm. check that out. And maybe it's not a rural community sometimes, but it's something closer to that than what you're from. Cities to survive have to make money. And mm-hmm. so when the holidays come around, they're looking at that angle of things more than anything. I think in rural communities and more smaller communities and everything is where you get that real spirit. They wanted to do this list. I think that's how they should have done it.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I agree 100% on that. I mean, if they want to, do the cities with the most spirit, I mean, obviously you're not going to get the bigger cities. You're going to probably get that maybe less than 100,000 mm-hmm. population. Probably that's where you'd have to go for that.
Yeah.
I get it for money wise and who did the survey, but I think small towns is the best places to go to have the Christmas spirit and see how everything is.
Majority
of the house you see are decorated with some type of decoration.
I haven't spent that much time in Milwaukee during the holidays, but I've noticed it. I love Milwaukee. I think it's a great city. But I've spent a lot of time in Madison. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is. I've been there and spent time there. And Madison, as far as I can tell, does Christmas right. They get really into the holidays, especially with the college town part of things and everything. And as far as like small towns go, I will put our area up against anybody. Rapids here, we do a pretty dang good job
and
everything, and it's only adding to things with the lights on the bridge and everything mm-hmm. like that, and some of these other things that are great assets to this town and only help people come to town, want to stay in town, and all the other that helps your taxes and helps income of this community. I think just as an outlier, I think you look at Rome, you look at Nakusa, you look at some of those towns, they're amazing. They really go all in on these. They really, do this holiday
Nakusa, I mean, yeah, no kidding.
But nobody compares to Rudolph. Like, let's just put that out right now, right away.
You're
talking about, population size and the way that they celebrate the season and everything.
Yeah.
A shout out to all of our communities, and this is not a contest, but if it was, Rudolph would win.
I think most people would agree with you, even the people that live elsewhere. I think you're right.
I feel like I got a good base on this, not being a transplant, but also spending half my life in this area. I feel like I'm a good judge of this one. And, there you go. It's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it means anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out there. But to me, that it's not even close.
Right. Oh, I mean, Rudolph does a great job, and ever since I moved up here many years ago, I mean, we try to get out to Rudolph every Christmas, especially during their celebration, because it's a good time.
Yeah,
it is.
They do a good job up there.
Good stuff.
Well, and another thing about this survey that it reminds me of too is these events and these things that we've looked forward to, and many of us, even those of us like that have been moved to this area and have been here for a while and stuff, have gotten used to it. And a lot of these organizations, a lot of these events, really need people, really need younger people. You need volunteers. Whether we're talking about the great events in Rudolph or Nakusa or anywhere around here, we always need more younger people to be a part of these events and to get involved.
Yeah,
we want our kids to be able to enjoy these things. The only way that happens is if people pick up the mantle.
The people who've been doing it for a long time can't do it forever.
Yeah,
they need help.
And keep in mind, when you pick up these things and you do them, you can put your spin on stuff. You can add your own thing to it and create your own added traditions to go along with some of these. We've seen
new ideas.
Every event we could talk about, whether it's a Rudolph Christmas or it is our own events that we have here in Rapids or any of them, they've all evolved since the time we've been here, let alone since 100%. They started. So this is another important part of this, I think, that is fun, too.
Yep.
And, this list is wrong. The list is wrong. Yeah. Kev, thanks for the call, man. Save that voice so you can join us on Playmakers this week, all right?
All right, sounds good. You guys have a great day.
You too. Safe travels out there to you, Kev, and all of our workers out there, our delivery people. We appreciate you.
I do have to give one shout-out to New York City. I have been in New York City the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and they're already set for Christmas. It's actually pretty darn cool. You walk down Fifth Avenue and you see the stores and you see it. Yeah, they do a good job. I mean, the skating at Rockefeller Center and all that. Yeah. I've been there and seen it, so probably that's why. But no, I think it's pretty cool.
And I think, too, there's also the entertainment part of it, the movies, TV shows and stuff. I've never spent one second in New York, but to me, I would have thought, if I was off the top of my head, I would have thought New York would have been number one on this list.
Yeah, and I think it has in the past, but now it's Chicago for some reason. Chicago, man.
My kind of time. We'll come back after our news break with the perfect gift for the, just surprise me.
Oh.
For that person.
Oh, boy.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. This is my jam. Oh, I love this song so much.
You're not alone. Apparently, Mr. Mike Comer says that. So I played this bumper last night for the game. Says it's one of his favorites, too. So it's an awesome one.
I think Run Rudolph Run with Chuck Berry was probably the first Christmas song that I actually really liked. Like, I don't mind. There's no Christmas song I hate.
Right.
But there's, you've heard them all. You get a little tone deaf to them and stuff.
Yep.
When I heard this on the radio as a kid, to hear hip-hop represented, to hear Run DMC doing a Christmas song was a game changer.
Awesome stuff, man.
Awesome. It's a great beat, too.
It's fabulous.
Some people are really hard to shop for.
Yeah.
if you are looking to buy something for the Milwaukee Bucks, they've already got it.
You can get them a gift card.
Real quick, do want to send a shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks winning the Emirates Cup yesterday.
Yep.
I know there's a lot of people that kind of make fun of this stuff, that don't think it's a big deal. You don't have to take it seriously. The players do. We're going to talk about this in Playmakers today, because I got to get on my soapbox on this one. I'm a little tired of people. I'm a little tired of people just if their team doesn't win it, then it doesn't mean anything, kind of thing. Because that's what it is.
That's basically what it is. Hey, this is something. It's done its job. People are talking about it, man. That's what the NBA wanted, right? There you go.
You don't in an 82 game season, let alone in a 16 game season or 132 or whatever. You don't know how long these guys are going to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can win something now when you know they're healthy,
100%.
Like that's competition. Mm-hmm. We are going to get into that a little bit later today on Playmakers. Join us from 5 to 6 for that. Some people are really hard to shop for, though.
It's true.
And they already have everything, and they don't seem to want anything new. And when you ask them what they want, they just go, oh, well, surprise me.
Okay.
Well, here is a fresh gift idea.
Oh, awesome.
Giving them unclaimed mail. Wait, what? No, I don't know if that's leak. Wait. Yeah. So here's how it works.
Okay.
You order a, quote, mystery box of a certain size, maybe between $40 for a small one or up to $200 if you want.
Okay.
And then the, quote, fun is opening the random shipped packages inside, which could be anything.
Really?
You're not guaranteed to get something of value. It's just supposed to be an experience, like a white elephant sort of thing.
Exactly. Very right on. Yes.
One person says the mystery box had, quote, a knockoff Chanel bag. Another one had a human-sized Bowser suit, Bowser from Super Mario. That'd be kind of cool to have, actually. I wouldn't mind
that. Wait. Who orders that and then not claims it?
Yeah, thank you.
That sounds
thank
like it's you, expensive.
Seth. That's the question needed to be asked there. That was good.
Man.
And a bunch of fake IDs, which is not
good.
Not good. Like, I don't think they should be doing that. That doesn't seem to be helping a lot. Although, if you've got, I mean, you can't just get a random fake ID and it doesn't look anything like you and expect it to work. But there are probably people
out there. I would turn it into some kind of collage or an art project. Go. There you go.
I like that. So it got a little awkward for someone else who got some other things that maybe that you know weren't necessarily that they didn't. They got it for their boss, and the boss opens it, and it's you know a naughty thing or something like that. So
I'm guessing there's actually quite a few of those out there. So you got to remember that when you're doing this, there's probably a lot of those types of things.
I wouldn't be doing this for coworkers.
No,
wouldn't be doing this maybe you know for your kids, you know, what doesn't seem like a good idea.
Right.
It's not clear how these mystery boxes are put together, but your haul could include unbelievable packages, unclaimed packages, canceled orders, overstocked package products, and customer return mail. Some companies offer mystery boxes with stuff that has been opened. Those may be less exciting, but they can guarantee a certain sort of value to them.
That's true.
And it doesn't change the price.
See, now that's the interesting that's thing about interesting. That. Yeah, exactly.
So you definitely could be getting a box that is more valuable than what you're paying for.
Exactly.
I actually think this is a really fun idea.
It is. You know? If you're an adventurous type man, if you're like, you know, you don't care what it is, you just want something, you know, really literally a surprise to you and the person giving the gift. That's actually kind of fun.
I kind of like the website. It's very 90s. It's very like
perfect.
You know, they I kind of like that.
See that, yeah.
And I love the idea, especially for that person that we all have in our lives, if not multiple versions of in our lives. That I don't care, just you know whatever. This is the perfect gift for them.
Yeah.
My part of my issue with this is the price, and I understand that it's got to be kind of high. But the cheapest one I've seen is like $70.
Ooh, that seems a bit high.
But also understandable because of the products that they're doing this with. That part of it is really unique. But I also like. I wonder if there's a bit of a you can't necessarily say a ripoff here. Mm-hmm. But isn't this like Storage Wars? Or whatever, like that those shows.
Yeah. Like where they break open like old storage sheds that people have abandoned or whatever. Yeah.
They're you know, bidding on a lot of the, and I don't know if those shows still exist or not, but if there was a while
there. There was for a while.
Like 18 different shows where people were bidding on these.
With a sight unseen.
Yeah.
They would just bid on the thing because they could, they would give them like maybe some information about the person or something like that. I don't know how that worked. Like, I never watched the shows, obviously.
I vaguely remember.
But so it's kind of like that, except not nearly as expensive.
Yeah.
Because I got up there,
Well, there was, I vaguely remember them ever working out. Like, it seemed more times than not, you're spending like $300-$400 or a lot
like
more.
Like a thousand
than that.
Or a couple thousand for it. Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of old papers.
Yeah.
You know, basically. That kind of, I don't understand that.
Not even good blackmail material.
No, right. There are certain jobs that I just look at and I'm like, well, you could have that.
I'm not interested in that.
You are all over that, man. I do not have any interest in that one. I do think, though, that it is kind of a fun idea.
I agree with you. I think that's kind of cool.
Some people got and sometimes this works out kind of interesting. A couple kids got their mom one, and they actually got a Happy Mother's Day Tiffy. it was a pillow that had this on there. Now the woman's name wasn't Tiffy, but it did line up a little bit from the mom.
I love that idea. Who's this? What is a pillow with that? Well, I mean, look at that. You get a great story out of it too. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, kind of thing. So.
And it's kind of interesting that this can also be something where you get more bang for your buck in some ways.
Yeah, and think about it. This, and I think these are out there as well. Don't quote me on this, but look at, you know, you could search on the interwebs and find out, you know, like maybe specific things, like maybe get a box of like comic books, you know, a mystery comic. You get a whole bunch of comic books or records, you know, for people who are into, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah,
I think those would be fun too, because then it's a little more specific, but you still don't know what you're going to get.
And of course, to the, you know, going back and everything, when people say they don't want a gift, get them this. Get them this.
Exactly. And if it turns out to be something horrible, then that'll show them.
Yeah.
Then they'll detect no more surprises. They will tell you next time.
What
you
be want. A little more specific. Exactly. Going forward, aren't you, Mom? That's pretty good. There are also free shipping involved with most of these items, okay, and everything. So there's that. I'm really curious about the stock. Like, where they're getting all of this stuff. God,
there's got to be from all different kinds. Man, now that you mention it, there's got to be, like, so many, like, returns and unclaimed. It's got to be a lot more than you'd think.
I guess I never really thought that deeply about the subject.
No, me neither.
But when you're thinking about it, like, there's that much to, and it's, and that this is legal. Like, that part of it, like, I'm not getting the weeds here on this or anything, but I, you know, we all understand, yeah, that you can't open another person's mail. That's a federal offense,
right,
and that. Mm-hmm. But this is somehow legal. I that window there of what makes it legal, I'm curious about.
They must have, because they have to go through certain companies, I'm guessing, to get the items kind of thing. So I think there's probably something there that they're able to do in order to, because I don't think it would, I would hope they're not doing this. Oh, shady, like, oh, that room, boy.
As we
find out tomorrow, they get raided, yeah.
I will tell you, right, yeah, we just blew their cover.
Oh, no!
Like, oh, dang it, thanks a lot, guys. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't necessarily do this. I would do this for others, but I would not recommend anybody doing this for me.
Okay.
Because I can tell you what will happen. Any returned item I have ever had will come back to me. That is my luck. That is just the way things work for me. So don't even bother.
I love the idea of it. It's like your own thing, yeah, that you got and you get it. That would be
helpful. That would be my luck.
The odds are just like hilarious. I love that idea.
I returned an item like 3 months ago, and then Christmas rolls back around, and hey, look what I did, this mystery box. And I open it up, and it's the shirt that didn't fit. I should have looked where it was coming from. Oh, Asia. I didn't look at the sizes. And I think, oh, dang it. We will encourage you to check it out, everybody. Yeah. That's a fun gift. I think that's pretty fun.
It would be a conversation starter. Let's put it that
way. That's true. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun and wrap up the show, morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Thanks so much for joining us today. Seth and I are going to take you right to the top of the hour.
We are.
Get into our schedule in a little bit here. But got a good stories of the day for you, and I want to get this one in real quick. Plumber working at a Virginia elementary school made a startling discovery, a Heathcliff lunchbox lost by a student more than 40 years earlier.
Well, it must have been 40 years, because Heathcliff, that hasn't been a thing in ages.
Yeah. I mean, I
cheap Garfield knockoff.
I could not resist the urge to mention Heathcliff on the air. I think Heathcliff came before Garfield. I think that's one of those situations, like the Oreos. Uh-oh. And the...
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. And check on it. I got to check on it now.
Please do, because I'm not at all like putting my name on it, I think. Anyway, a Roanoke City Public School said in a Facebook post that a plumber was doing maintenance at a Fairview Elementary School and came across a metal lunchbox bearing images of the orange cartoon cat. they posted this online. Mm-hmm. The lunchbox appears to have been made in the early 80s.
Okay.
The post eventually came to the attention of the correct Tracy Drain, who lost her lunchbox during fourth grade in 1982.
Oh, no.
And she got it back.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
and was like, I was in Heathcliff? What's wrong with me?
No, she immediately kidding. Was embarrassed. right away she said that she thought it was amazing. If I would have been the person that found it, I would have put it on eBay and finders keepers, losers weepers. But it's very interesting to be able to see it again. As far as remembering it, I do not. She didn't remember it.
Wow. Interesting.
It's kind of cool.
Didn't even remember. No, but to be fair, I'm trying to think of things that I probably would have forgotten
too.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Now, I do remember having a G.I. Joe guy lunchbox because I didn't have a lot of lunchboxes.
Oh, okay.
And my nan and pop got me that one, and I got to pick it out.
Okay. All right. You got me on this one, James. You got me on this one. Heathcliff did come before Garfield.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
1973, Garfield didn't come out till my birth year, 1978. So
definitely one of those situations, just like I know Oreos and Oryx or whatever that other brand is.
Yes.
And the other brand came out before Oreos, but
Hydrox.
Hydrox.
Hydrox. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But one becomes more popular sometimes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with this one.
It's just weird when that happens.
Yes,
it doesn't happen that often.
No.
We've got some great local things going on we want to touch on. Mm-hmm. And certainly looking at our schedule is one of them.
Yep.
We've got a great lineup for you today. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up at the top of the hour. Jane and Greg will get you ready for the noon hour and have that Civic Media Text to Win word for you.
Mm-hmm.
Be listening for that at the top of the 11 a.m. hour, everybody. That's coming up a little bit later today. We got Midday Magazine. Join us for a great lineup and part one. We are going to speak with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, going to be joining us.
Very nice. Very
and
good.
Then, we have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in as well. Mm-hmm. Always look forward to the gang being in here from there. And in part two, our good friend Amy Scheid will be in, along with Trika Faulkner, will be with us, executive director. We are going to be talking with our family center.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Got some got to talk holidays, got some upcoming fundraisers we want to talk mm-hmm. about, some really great things going on with our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We'll be able to hang out with them a little bit later.
Indeed, indeed.
We've also got a great one going on this afternoon. Actually, kicking off in just a couple of minutes, from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library, have a blood drive going on.
Mm-hmm. Very important this time of year, everybody.
Yeah, a shout out to our friends at McMillan hosting this mm-hmm. and to all the great workers over there taking these blood donations and yep. everything. And to all of you heroes out there donating blood. Yep. We appreciate you. Again, blood donation opportunity from today from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library.
No greater gift than you can give this time of year right there. Yeah.
And Seth, it is Wednesday. We know what that means around here.
Bingo.
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 I haven't been here on a Wednesday in a long time. I just realized that. I haven't been able to say bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo. Bingo, 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 bingo. Okay, I'm good now.
Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elk Lodge, number 693. Go mm-hmm. join him today. Their doors open at 5. Yep. Bingo kicks off at what time?
6:30. The doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. Get your parking spot now, everyone. Go save it now because that place is always busy on bingo night.
A couple of great events going on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor are going to be performing from 2 to 4
yep.
over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Join them at 2651 A Street South. They've got a lot of other great things going on over there, too, especially if you were looking for some good gifts to give and local gifts.
Their gift shop is open until the 21st, so make sure you check that out, everyone. They got some great stuff there.
And tomorrow, our VFW Post 2534 have their monthly meeting. They do this on the third Thursday of the month at mm-hmm. 6 o'clock over at the VFW Post 2534. Mm-hmm. Visit them for that, and a big thank you to them for what they're doing. And tomorrow, also, Lincoln High School has their community holiday concert at the Performing Arts Center.
Ooh.
Also, they will be collecting coats for Shepherd's Loft in their lobby.
Very cool.
So if you're able to drop one of those off, it's greatly mm-hmm. appreciated, yep. and take in a great show from a bunch of great kids at a great place. Man, yep. that the pack is one of two places that I am dying to perform.
Really nice facility that we have in town here. That's really nice to have.
Seth, we want to remind everybody about an event coming up tomorrow that we had Grace in yesterday talking about.
We did. Blue Christmas worship service coming up tomorrow at 6 p.m. over at St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church, 320 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. All are welcome. The holiday season can be hard for many, especially those who mourn. Join them for a time of worship as they reflect, celebrate, and find hope. So that is coming up tomorrow at 6 p.m. at St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church, 320 Oak Street, 6 p.m. Blue Christmas worship service. One more thing I wanted to talk about, a good thing that happened today while James and I were on the air here. We had the Cool Teen Program going throughout our building.
That was cool.
Cool stands for Community Occupation Organizations and Leadership. What they're doing is going around to several places today to learn more about different industries, and we happen to be the first one today, all about radio. So I want to do a shout out to the rest of our crew, Laura, Melissa, Pam, Beth, and Mike, for explaining all the different aspects of what we do here. Sounds like they impressed a couple of people that maybe make the wrong choice of getting into radio. No, I'm kidding. But this is put on by the Heart of Wisconsin, the Chamber, and also their community incubator. So this is a really cool program, and we were very excited and very glad to be a part of this today.
Yeah, appreciate the Chamber and the work they're doing over there. And a big thank you to everybody that came over from Cool.
Yeah,
that was
20-some
awesome.
Kids here, yeah.
And it's a fitting name for that because they got to walk in and see the coolest team in radio and the greatest team in radio.
That's right.
So proud of this team, and a big thank you to everybody and all the work they were doing behind the scenes there, and the work they do every day.
Every day.
And real quick, want to remind everybody that a little bit later today, of course, we got Playmakers from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for that. We're going to have a lot of fun taking your sports talks and feelings and all that. And then tomorrow from 5 to 6, we're going live with Community Stories. We've got our Santa's elf here, and we're going to be taking calls from the kids.
That's right. Once more, they're going to be, Melissa's going to be here with Santa's elf, Holly, I believe is her name. And they will be taking your phone calls, 424-2600. It was a fabulous success. At least I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I thought it was a great success. We got several calls, but we want more calls, everyone. We want you to fill up the phone line tomorrow from 5 to 6 here, 424-2600, not only on WFHR, but WIRI as well.
Yeah, keep that in mind. It's streaming on both networks and everything, so you can check it out that way. And kids, we understand, oh, I saw Santa. Oh, I got my list in. Hey, we also understand kids, like that changed 3 or 4 times.
It has already, several times.
You want to get the updated list.
Add something, you know,
You got to get that updated list to Santa. Mm-hmm. We're going to be able to help you do that. That's what we do around here. We don't just help local adults. We help the local kids.
We help them all.
Yeah. So get ready to call in tomorrow with what you... And I think that it's a good idea to be thinking about, okay, well, this when they ask me
think
what I want...
Think about it now.
You know, yeah, this is I'll be able to tell them. And
get ready.
Because that's tough. That's tough being put on,
put on the spot and having to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Call us tomorrow. Be ready to call in tomorrow, 715-424-2600. We'll be here live and direct from 5 to 6 with Community Stories Junior. We're taking elf calls.
Yep.
We got an elf on the call. We're bored.
Get your lists.
Calls.
Yep.
I made it sound like elves will be calling.
Calling, yeah. No,
that's not what's happening. It's the opposite.
Answering the calls.
Yes, answering the calls. And thank you for answering the call, everybody. A great show today. Seth, nice work.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.